Welcome back to the Defense Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Civilian Sydney, and we are back this week to kick off something new. This episode is a part of a new mini-series called Tech Talks, where we will intermittently release standalone episodes. Each of these special episodes will help paint the larger picture of the technology that's imperative to the DoD mission. On this week's Tech Talks, I'm meeting with Brad Kettner and Dan Wing from Omni Federal. In this episode, Brad and Dan give me a new perspective on the digital services and methods that are necessary to make real progress in DoD innovation, especially in space. Brad Kettner is the Vice President of Space Growth at Omni Federal. He has 39 years of DoD experience in various roles, including development projects for the International Space Station, a prototype satellite ground system architecture analysis tool, and more. His direct experience with numerous DoD and space systems, including national systems, missile defense systems, the Army's future combat system, GPS, and more, make him an expert in all things ground and space systems technology. We are also joined by Dan Wink, a senior consultant for Omni who is focusing on scaling their DoD space and modeling simulation domains. He is the owner and founder of Triad Consulting, and prior to that, he was a senior civil servant at the Office of the Secretary of Defense, leveraging his strategic deterrence expertise. He has a vast array of experience supporting the different DoD offices in threat protection, kill chain, and large-scale simulation technologies. This was such a great conversation, and I hope you learn as much as I did listening to Dan and Brad. Stay tuned for more Tech Talks episodes and a brand new series that will be released soon. So hi, Dan and Brad. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, and welcome. We're so excited to have this conversation with you guys and learn more about Omni Federal. But if you could start by just walking us through your respective backgrounds, were either of you involved in the military or are you coming from civilian backgrounds?
Well, thanks for having us, Sydney. I'm Brad, and I did start in the military back in 1985 down at Patrick Space Force Base. I worked a lot of the launch, did oversight for many of the launch activities that were run out of that location. Later, unfortunately, got injured, so they converted me to a civilian position where I worked as a civil servant for several years, working major acquisitions and some management advisory services for senior leaders. And from there, moved my family out to Colorado, where I became a contractor and have been a contractor for over 20 years working on various space programs.
Awesome. Great. What about you, Dan?
Yeah. Hi, Sydney. A little bit of both, actually. So civil servant with a strategic deterrence background and got to cut my teeth on overhead systems like Discus and Milstar and other things. I've done some time as a defense contractor, worked on the National Security Council. I've done startups and, you know, had my fun as a technologist in the startup world and here in the non-traditional world. So a good mix and, you know, really helped to really make appreciative of some of the things that NSTXL brings to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys have a lot of collective experience in different areas of the industry. I'm curious to know what specific aspects you both are passionate about.
I'll take that one first. I think for me, it's about, you know, with that strategic deterrence mindset, it's, you know, first and foremost, how do we keep America's interests top of mind at the forefront and the lead? But really, it's about helping the warfighter and solving really hard problems and how you can use non-traditional FAR or OTAs to really get after that. You know, what are the hardest problems to solve? What is the national security crisis? And what kind of innovative solutions can you bring to the fight for the warfighter?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and for me, going back to the 1980s, I'm still seeing some of the technology that existed when I first started and entered the military. So my passion is to see that gets upgraded and improved. Recently did a user engagement with some of our Guardians and was really amazed at the screens and the systems that they're using, the fact that a lot of the buttons didn't work. So really my passion is to deliver to the warfighter some modern usable technology that they're going to love to use and that can also be maintained for years to come, knowing that the tech refresh cycle can be in, you know, dozens of years versus a few years.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing. So in one of our previous episodes, I actually had on Melissa Owens, who is also from Omni Federal. And we talked a lot about some of the services that Omni provides to government teams, like classes and certifications. We also discussed sort of a high-level overview of what Omni does. But would you be able to give me more detail on the technology that Omni develops on the ground and the sort of projects that your team likes to get involved in?
Sure, Sydney, I'll take that one. So as a, you know, as a commercial first company, right, Omni has benefited from a lot of innovation in the previous world, SBIRs, SDTRs. So first and foremost, right, UX, UI experience. Second, sort of cloud and platform. So huge in platform one, cloud one type capabilities. Software development, as always, but really we're a digital and a data company. So we can bring solutions across a lot of that. And one of the nice things that we have found in the time that we've, you know, stood up since 2017 is those capabilities are really about delivering. And so one of the things that we're most excited about is we are putting in place a direct award BOA, and it covers basically 11 Omni technologies, soup to nuts across those four areas. And I think like what Mel was talking a little bit about, right, there's the DU side and there's training, but then you also have operations, you have data support, you have business enterprise systems, you have geospatial capabilities. So really Omni really runs the gamut, if you will, across the mission storefront. But most importantly, it's about delivering for our customers.
Okay, great. Well said. So there's just generally a lot of excitement and demand around space technology right now, as I'm sure you guys are aware. I'd love to get your perspective on what you think some of the real needs are that maybe aren't quite as flashy, but are imperative to the mission. What do you think those needs are right now?
Well, it goes back to something I just said a little while ago, and that, you know, our systems are very dated. You know, that the tech refresh cycle, just because of the sheer cost and of course the sensitivity to the missions and impacts to missions, you know, the government tends to lag on keeping things up to date, current. And so a lot of our end users, the warfighters themselves, the guardians, you know, they're looking at antiquated systems that aren't particularly fun for them to use. They may be sitting next to each other, one telling them this is what's on my terminal, so they can enter the data into another terminal. So just the little things like giving a good user experience that is often overlooked. You know, they build these big, powerful systems on the back end, and then they forget about the person on the front end that has to be able to look at those screens and make decisions and take actions. Often, I think, gets overlooked. And then the long-term impact of the system's aging, I think it's overlooked, you know, logistics and upgrades and maintenance. These things often get thought about after the fact. In fact, in space, you know, we launch satellites. We don't necessarily have a ground system that's capable of operating sometimes ahead of the ground system. So just really, I think, focusing on how the system's going to be used first, I think, is the biggest thing. And it's something as simple as the screen they're looking at, I think, is something that's very important.
Dan, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Not to add per se, just to compliment. And I think it's resilience, right? I think as the nature of the threats have changed, as the, you know, the fact that space, when we first started putting some of these systems up, was a friendly place and there was no congestion or even really contestant. All the things that Brad just said, from ground stations to resilience to interoperability to options, you know, to give our warfighters the best options to keep those capabilities running, we now need to think about. And so for me, it's, you know, how do we look at resilience, whether that's in the traditional sort of strategic standpoint of multiple nines, whatever, or if it's just resilience as in like, hey, this goes away, I have this, and giving those operators seamless access to that data without losing something that impacts the mission, I think is where I'd kind of emphasize the need in space right now at the moment.
Okay, yeah. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what are some of those SSC needs that your team specifically is responding to?
I think anything that, to Brad's point, gets at modernization, brings at the enterprise and the scale, right? If it's got a ground station component, if it's got a data transmission or data integration aspect to it. You know, it's definitely of interest or of very keen attractiveness to the Omni team.
Sure.
So, yeah, and to add to that, just real quick, you know, we are looking at bringing innovation into the warfighter and you know, taking some non-traditional approaches to how we do this. I've been doing this for a very long time. I understand how a lot of the current system integrators build these big monolithic systems. And I've been around long enough to see how they age, sometimes okay and a lot of times poorly. But bringing innovation in that's going to keep us current and keep pace with our adversaries, to be quite honest. So we're looking for those steps. So those are the types of projects that we are really excited us is where we can help leap forward in innovation and technology.
So speaking of non-traditional, Omni Federal is a small non-traditional company. Would you be able to lay out for us exactly what that means? What classifies a company as non-traditional and how does that classification matter for the work that you do?
Yeah, I'll take that one. We are obviously a non-traditional in the definition that's provided for an OTA type of a vehicle and that we're small business.
Sure.
And also, you know, we are non-traditional due to our accounting system, you know, which is the non-based cost. But we kind of look at it a little bit differently, too, in that we're non-traditional from the standpoint that our roots come from the commercial background.
Okay.
And we are trying to bring commercial experience into the federal sector, and we've done that successfully. We've adapted commercial practices from where our company was born, and we're now bringing those new modern, innovative, and non-traditional approaches to solve problems for warfighters, you know, and we're doing that through spec. We're using the OTA because it allows us to be a non-traditional, whereas a lot of the FAR-based approaches, you have to be more traditional in your responses and align to meet all of the different requirements that are put out there. And those become barriers for us. So for us, being non-traditional is meet the definition that we're small, but also we approach the problem differently.
Yeah. So how long has Omni Federal been a member of SPEC? Do you know?
Since the fall of 22.
Okay, awesome. So you've been a member now for 2 years, close to 2 years. And I know your company's been innovating for 6 years. So you've been around for a bit of time and have plenty of experience contracting with the DoD, kind of like you just mentioned. What has your experience been like as a more seasoned, non-traditional contractor? Are there any gaps that you've noticed in the contracting space for non-traditional companies?
I think we've noticed a couple gaps. You know, first and foremost, right, space is an interesting domain to operate in, and a lot of times brings a lot of challenges, both with facilities and classifications and mission expertise. And so, you know, while you bring the non-traditional and the innovation approach, solving the facilities ready to go day one or some of the hooks if you're a small business. And luckily, Omni's been able to sort of overcome that. We have a pretty robust geospatial capability and others across other parts of the world. So maybe not as challenging for us per se, but still an issue nonetheless. It definitely creates, a gap in the sense that if you want to bring an innovative solution, but your customer is not innovative or they're stuck with a legacy mission and they want it done a certain way, you know, it means you have to be more creative. But luckily, Brad and I have been around this business long enough where creative is sort of what non-traditional kind of means to us too, right? It isn't just about the vehicle and the contract. It's about, to Brad's point, you know, what are we delivering and what's the value? I think the other thing too, which, you know, you will see evident in our Forge approach is teaming, right? You know, in terms of Spec does a wonderful job encouraging teaming. Spec does a wonderful job talking about the value of smaller players or newcomers. But let's face it, right? This domain is really largely controlled by the large SIs. And so, you know, it does create some gaps or create some challenges in terms of what companies are able to do in the event that Omni's never going to build you a space vehicle or a launch vehicle. But that doesn't mean that there isn't value to be added. So I'll stop there and let Brad chime in.
Yeah, to add to that, you know, the gap there is that, you know, if we as a small non-traditional typically line up behind the large business, we are driven by their policies, their procedures, their tolerance to innovation. It's just another layer between our innovation and the customer and the end user. Whereas when, well, on Forge, when we were put out front, we can now drive that innovation. We can drive some processes that are a little bit faster. And even more importantly, it's allowing us to close one of the gaps that we knew we faced, which was facilities. We've been able to make some investments in facilities because we now have a very clearly understood project where we understand the investment that needs to be made. We just opened our first office out here in Colorado to support Forge, and we're putting the capabilities in there needed to support it long run. So it's actually helping build the defense, the defense industrial base by allowing a non-traditional to close those gaps, which are facilities, security clearances, SCIFs. But we can team with a large behind us, and then we can leverage the investment the government's made there in their facilities while advancing our own and basically making for a much healthier industrial base across the board for the DoD and Space Force.
Yeah. So you both mentioned Forge, which is the Forge C2 project. Are you able to speak like high level about your involvement in that project?
Yeah, I think we can speak at a high level. We are limited in some of what we can say, but we did pursue that. You know, we went to the project talks and we looked at how the contract was structured, and we took note that there was a chance there, the way the government set it up, for a small, innovative, non-traditional company to step in and actually perform the work. And mm-hmm. we took advantage of that, went in, provided a good solution to the customer that they were obviously interested in. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way down to how we did our teaming. Our teaming was flexible in nature. We have a very solid group of companies. And what mm-hmm. I tell folks, the secret to Forge is not really a secret. We bring a single unified team of companies that can perform and deliver the same as a mid-sized to large company. However, we don't bring some of the overhead that comes with those larger companies. And we're able to move very quickly using our agile and modern methods, which sometimes we don't get to do. Again, as I had mentioned before, if we end up being behind those larger, traditional, more well-established companies that have very set engineering processes.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And kind of going back to what we were talking about with those gaps for non-traditionals, how has your team's use of the other transaction authority, the OTA, and involvement with SPEC maybe helped to fill some of those gaps?
So I think one of the ways that we've looked at that is just speed, right? Omni really likes to get going, right? We use that user-centered design. We take those modern approaches and agility that Brad was talking about, and we want to just go. And I think it isn't just about having the right people. You know, Brad and his team have done a really great job, but I think it's about being not held back, right? We've got 4 demos, a short amount of time to do this in, and I think it's really well suited to the team that Omni has built, and it's really, really going to show in the end that's what I think the customer is looking for. And we heard them and we gave them exactly what they wanted.
And the phased approach that they've taken allows us the time that we need to fill those gaps. I mean, you're talking about closing the gaps. If it's required on day one, a non-traditional is probably not going to be able to do a whole lot. But if we've got a year to prepare for what is needed, then we can usually get those in place because we do have to deal with the government process, which, you know, they're not going to give us, you know, our 254s in a day. They're not going to give us, you know, access to certain key facilities in a week. It's going to take a few months. So it allows both the government and the contracting side to have a more controlled pace and get the right things in place to protect, you know, security and all the things that are needed. Mm-hmm. So it is a true partnership with the government, which is something we do like about OTAs.
Yeah, that is unique. So in both of your experiences, what sort of flexibility does the OTA give you as opposed to using something like the FAR-based contract?
It's focused on the solution. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think Omni's been so successful is we really, you know, we want to deliver you a great solution. So by focusing on the solution, it allows Omni to showcase what it does best.
Nice. Anything you want to add, Brad?
Yeah, when we approach an OTA, as Dan said, when I joined Omni, you know, I had done OTAs much longer. I've actually been a member of SPEC with other companies longer than 2 years.
Okay.
You know, I learned the lesson very early on that if you don't have a complete solution to bring to the customer, because that's really what the OTA is looking for, then it's probably not where you want to play. But if you do have that solution, it is a great environment for companies like Omni and other non-traditionals to come in and play, because it is geared towards that smaller business. But I've driven home to Omni and everybody here who's working these, it is just like our SIBRs that we were doing. It's about having a solution. Pitching a concept isn't what they're looking for.
Well said. So is there any advice that either of you would like to give to small non-traditional companies who are looking to get DoD funding?
Well, I would start by saying, you know, don't limit yourself to what you've always done. Look at what you're doing now and figure out how you can apply that forward and how you can apply that to a current problem. I think they'll be surprised to see that they actually can bring a solution if they just look at it from the other side of how they're traditionally looking at it. It's no secret. I mean, for me to get Omni to go after Forge C2, I had folks within the company who say, we don't do that kind of work. And I had to change their perspective so that they could see that we do actually do similar type of work. It's just, you know, it has a different look to it and just has to be applied differently. And then don't be afraid to form a coalition of partnerships. You know, find other like-minded companies that culturally fit with you very well, and you can develop complete solutions through partnering. And the key is to deliver a solution, not deliver something that only you have. You're not selling a product. You should be taking them a solution and delivering a solution rather than delivering a product and asking them to wrap their mission around your product. It should be the other way around.
Well, that's about all the questions that I have. It's great to see you. Thank you both so much for joining, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you for the opportunity, and wonderful to see you again today.